From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, Ag News 890, Lisbon and Fargo, and Farm News in Real Country, Thunder 106.1, also Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. While the ethanol industry is confident the renewable fuel standard on the books until at least 2022 will survive, despite President-elect Donald Trump's pick of an Environmental Protection Agency chief critical of the RFS. Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt opposed the EPA's approval of E15 and criticized the RFS, but ethanol and farm groups feel the nation's biofuels mandate is secure. American Farm Bureau Executive Director Dale Moore.
Our expectation is he's going to be working, you know, with the farmers that support the renewable fuel standard, with the industry that supports it, as sure as he's going to be working with others. And just a keen hope that we're talking about a review, hopefully maybe finding ways to improve the RFS so it continues to do, the job it has to build the biofuels industry in this country.
Ethanol groups like the Renewable Fuels Association and Growth Energy declined interview requests, but Growth Energy CEO Emily Score issued a statement that President-elect Trump is committed to protecting the RFS and ending restrictions to expanding ethanol's use. Score says America's ethanol industry worked hard to help bring President-elect Donald Trump to the White House and continues to support his dedication to ensuring homegrown domestic energy security. AFP's Moore expects Pruitt to take his marching orders from the top.
I feel pretty confident saying that Mr. Trump is going to set the agenda for his administration, and I feel equally confident that he is picking individuals that he expects and has confidence in the fact that they're all going to be working together.
The American Coalition for Ethanol cautions against overreacting to Pruitt's RFS criticism, arguing Pruitt will be bound by the RFS law already on the books. The organization also says rural senators of both parties will forcefully educate him during his confirmation of the importance of the RFS to their states. Well, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to continue on. Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt, President-elect Donald Trump's choice to head the EPA. Well, in the past, Pruitt has filed legal challenges against the Waters of the United States rule. Well, we're going to talk about that when we come back. Also, North Dakota Democratic Senator Heidi Heitkamp met with President-elect Trump. We'll talk about that as well. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. Well, as we mentioned before we took the last break, Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt is President-elect Donald Trump's choice to head the Environmental Protection Agency. Now, in the past, Pruitt has filed legal challenges against Waters of the United States rule and greenhouse gas regulations. AgriPulse reports that Pruitt met this week with Trump about the position. I should say last week. Pruitt has been a vocal critic of the renewable fuel standard, calling the RFS a flawed program. Pruitt has also filed legal challenges against the Affordable Care Act and the Dodd-Frank law, under which the administration has implemented new regulations on the futures market. Pruitt was first elected Oklahoma Attorney General back in 2010. He's established a federalism unit within the state Solicitor General's office to challenge regulations. Pruitt also questioned the legal and scientific basis for the Obama administration to attack climate change, saying scientists continue to disagree about the extent of climate change and its connection to the actions of mankind. Oklahoma Republican Senator Jim Inhofe, who chairs the Environment and Public Works Committee, says he expects no problems with getting Pruitt confirmed in the Senate. While North Dakota Democrat Senator Heidi Heitkamp recently met with President-elect Trump and remains as a potential cabinet pick, Politico's Morning Agriculture Report says that doesn't mean she's ready to rubber stamp Scott Pruitt, the Oklahoma Attorney General Trump has nominated to take over as chief of the Environmental Protection Agency. Pruitt isn't a believer in climate change and isn't a fan of the renewable fuel standard, which Heitkamp says gives her pause. Heitkamp does share Trump's concerns regarding overregulation, but she also wants clean air and water. If we're going to have an EPA administrator who understands rural America, that means they also have to understand the needs of farmers and want to support those farmers. Senate Ag Committee ranking Democrat Debbie Stabenow of Michigan is also skeptical of Pruitt. We're promised a farmer-friendly EPA by President-elect Trump, yet his nominee wants to upend one of the most successful drivers in rural America. Stabenow adds that this appears to be a president-elect saying one thing to the American public and doing something else. While also, when it comes to the EPA, the Texas energy industry applauds the selection of Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt to head the EPA. Texas Soil and Gas Association President Todd Staples says the nomination is actually good for America.
I think that this appointment or nomination is should be encouraging to all Americans to see that the president-elect is selecting leadership that understands protecting the environment and growing the economy are not mutually exclusive.
He says Pruitt recognizes the states are best suited to regulate different levels of activity.
We are hopeful is that the EPA will pursue its mission with integrity. They will do this with a spirit of cooperation with the states rather than the adversarial role that we've seen for the last 8 years.
Staples says Pruitt will be sensitive to the needs of energy producers as well as farmers. Well, as we continue on with what's going on in agriculture, the Farm Credit System's quarterly report says stress levels are still high in the ag sector of the economy. In fact, the operating report says stress levels are high in many different sectors of agriculture. Farm debt levels are still high while cash receipts continue to decline. Well, interest rates remain low but are slowly beginning to rise. That combined with commodity prices that will remain low thanks to record or near-record production in corn, soybeans, and wheat. All of these factors are all putting downward pressure on farmland prices. High production numbers are also weighing down price and profit margins in the dairy and protein industries. Overall, the quarterly report says the farm credit system is financially sound and safe, while set against the risky environment in agriculture. We'll take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about hog numbers. They're up. That's up next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. Well, huge hog numbers have moved this fall. Steve Meyer, who's the vice president of pork analysis for EMI Analytics, says it's been a record-breaking time for hog slaughter.
We've set four records as we've gone through the fall at 4 weeks of over 2.5 million. And, you know, we kind of got started back in September with a bang there 1 week when the slaughter was about 100,000 head higher than what we thought it was going to be that week in mid-September.
Meyer says hog slaughter has been slightly larger than anticipated, but that's attributed to the large number of hogs that were sold at lighter weights.
We attribute that to pulling a few hogs forward. Producers were very aggressive in their marketings this fall, and that was the exact perfect thing to do because what happened was we pulled a few hogs forward. We pulled some weight off those hogs. And these hogs in recent weeks have been running 2 to 3 pounds lighter than they normally would have been had we had the normal kind of seasonal increase. And so that's taken some supply off. It's kept producers in a current situation so that if we ever tap the brakes on the hogs coming in, and we actually did that here a couple of weeks ago, and we've seen a nice rally on the cash market and the futures as well, just because, you know, we were extremely current on marketing.
That's Steve Meyer, Vice President of Pork Analysis at EMI Analytics. While innovations in genomic technology continue to chart the course for the future of beef production, And helping lead the charge is Angus Genetics Incorporated. AGI reports record growth in genomic profile testing in fiscal year 2016. And for the first time ever, the uptake of genomic testing exceeded 100,000 tests. That's an increase of about 45% year over year, as AGI President Dan Mosier actually has this opportunity to explain.
We've had a tremendous year, the best ever really for AGI in terms of volume of genomic testing, that we sold over 110,000 genomic profiles with both companies, with both Neogen and Zoetis, to go into Angus genomically enhanced EPDs. And so while it took us several years to get to the first 100,000, we're now at approaching 300,000 animals in the genomic evaluation for Angus. And so, you know, that's really exciting to see the growth and use of that technology.
Mosier attributes the growth to increased interest in genomically enhanced EPDs among commercial cattle producers who rely on the data to make precise breeding decisions.
I think that commercial bull demand is a big part of it. I also see Angus breeders using the information in their heifer replacement selection decisions. By testing more heifers all the time, they're seeing the benefit. Because in a genomic test, we get more than a lifetime's worth of accuracy added to EPDs. And so having that information on a young female helps that producer make more accurate mating decisions and ultimately produce a bull that's more desirable to the commercial market.
You can visit angus.org/AGI to learn more about applying genomic technology in your operation. Well, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, the Irrigation Association and National Groundwater Association held their joint meeting this past week in Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll talk about that right after this. Well, as we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios on a Monday, the Irrigation Association and National Groundwater Association held their joint meeting this past week in Las Vegas, Nevada. Jay Robbins, the past president of the Irrigation Association, as of the end of the convention, says the Irrigation Association is busy working on a strategic plan, something they put together every 3 years.
We bring in all our board of directors, we bring in our certification board, and then we bring in some special invitees from within the industry. Bring them in, and we go through a 1.5 to 2 day strategic planning session and really pick our brains. We evaluate the mission, the vision of the organization, but then we also look at other areas that are of concern for our industry, and we make sure that we're focused where we need to be.
Now, one of the bigger concerns in the industry is finding good employees. The Irrigation Association did a survey of many different industry organizations and asked the question, what keeps you up at night? The responses were very consistent among different groups.
Primary was workforce development. You know, we have a shallow pool of employees to draw from. So whether it be from a distributor and a designer standpoint, a contractor, manufacturers, or even farmers, we all have the same problems. Is we find it very hard to find qualified individuals.
Robin says there are programs in place within the irrigation industry to find workers and feels it'll get going in the right direction.
The Irrigation Foundation has a very good education and training program already established, so it was encouraging because it allows us to state that, you know, we know we're headed the right direction. We just need to make more efforts in reaching out to the universities, the community colleges, trade schools, that type of thing, to try to help develop these programs that will educate these young folks as they're coming out of high school and into the workplace, that we have some folks that have some experience or at least understand what we're trying to do.
The Irrigation Association is stepping up its scholarship offerings to invest in developing future employees.
We're going ahead and really making more offerings with our scholarships. We also have a E3 program where we have about 40 kids, I say kids, they're college students or workplace individuals that are here at the show this year as part of our E3 program that the Foundation has, where they're bringing in individuals pretty much on a scholarship to attend the show and understand more about what we do in hopes that as they go back to their training, they will turn their opportunities into irrigation technologies where we can introduce them into the workplace upon graduation.
And, of course, the Irrigation Association stepped up their information for future employees. That's Jay Robbins of the Irrigation Association. Well, that's what's going on today inside agriculture. I'll be broadcasting from Farmer to Farmer, Farmers Business Network, coming up in Omaha. That gets underway tomorrow. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.